This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
My dear brothers and sisters, Abdullah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that whenever he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always saw him smiling. He always saw him smiling. And I find this hadith very fascinating because if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's actually filled with a lot of catastrophe, hardship and calamity. From a very young age, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father passes away. A few years later, his mother passes away. He's in the care of his grandfather and he too passes away. He grows older and he finds the first love of his life, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She bears 6 children for him. And not only does Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha pass away, but all of his children, with the exception of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, too passes away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had one main defender amongst the Quraysh, his uncle Abu Talib. And he loved him dearly, subhanallah. He wanted what was best for him. He tried his utmost best to help him accept Islam as much as he could. Not only did he pass away, but he passed away on other than Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam no longer has support in Mecca, so he goes to Ta'if seeking help over there. And these people were so belligerent that not only did they reject the message of Islam, but they taught their children to curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pelt him till he passes out in his own blood. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to migrate to Medina. And in Medina, there are people that are there already. There are tribes that are there already. And he establishes a treaty with them and tells them that we will defend Medina collectively together. It is our communal obligation to do so. But when the time came, not only did they betray the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not defend, but rather they attacked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. You look at a life like this and you think, subhanallah, where do you find the optimism? Where do you find the positivity? And what I want to share with you today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is that the external world around you can be burning and it can be in chaos. But if you have a deep understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you'll always find a way to radiate optimism and positivity, even if it's just through a smile, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi, they narrate from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna rabbakum hayyun karimun yastahyi min 'abdihi idh rafa'a yadayhi an yaruddahuma kha'ibatayn aw sifara." They narrate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your Lord is the most bashful and he is the most generous. And he becomes even more bashful when the slave raises their hands to Allah. Raises their hands to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes even more bashful that he should leave those hands empty-handed without having given the slave that which they asked for. Allahu Akbar. When you look at such a hadith that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, the one that gives us everything, becomes shy in front of us when we raise our hands, Allahu Akbar. How can you ever despair? I want us to understand this hadith on a much deeper level. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he starts this hadith by saying, "Inna rabbakum," that indeed your Lord. Meaning that you should have a very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, one of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asks him, "Ya Rasulullah, arabbuna ba'idun fanunadih am qaribun fanunajih?" That, "O Messenger of Allah, is our Lord far away that we need to call out to him? Or is he close that we can have an intimate conversation with him?" And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my slave asks you about me, I am near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always close to his slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always near to his slave. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants us to understand, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ, that indeed your Lord. It's not a Lord for someone else. It is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, but this is your Lord, your provider, your caretaker. Hayyun, he is the most bashful. He is the most shy. Ibn Muflih rahimahullah, he says that bashfulness and modesty is that characteristic that inspires every other good characteristic. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, every religion has a trait and characteristic, and the trait and characteristic of this religion is bashfulness and modesty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that iman is some 60 or 70 odd categories. Its highest level is the actualization of La ilaha illallah, and its lowest level is to remove something harmful from the pathway. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And bashfulness and modesty is a branch from the branches of faith. And he goes on to further explain that what ties this hadith all together is bashfulness and modesty. That the actualization of La ilaha illallah can only be done once you recognize who your Creator is and what your relationship is with your Creator, one, to worship them. And then what removes something harmful from the pathway is your bashful and modesty, that just like you would not want to be harmed by something, you can't allow it for your brother as well. So that bashfulness and modesty in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is constantly watching you, is what motivates you to remove something harmful from the pathway itself. Al-Kareem, we often translate it as the most generous. But in the context of this hadith, Al-Kareem is the one that gives you more than you want. Al-Kareem is the one that gives you even before you ask. And Al-Kareem is the one that gives you even better than you ask for. So every single time when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these three things are instantaneously and automatically happening. He's giving you before you ask, He's giving you better than you ask for, and He's giving you more than you ask for. In fact, one of the days the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging his companions to make dua. And this will summarize the whole hadith that we've been discussing. And he's telling them, increase in making dua, for surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears your dua and answers it. He will either give you what you want when you want it, or will delay it till a time that it is better for you, or in fact what you're asking for is not good for you. So when you look at these three scenarios, what you're asking for and you get it when you want it, as you want it, you would think that this is the ideal case scenario. But I want us to understand, as our predecessors have said, that if you were to get what you want when you want it, who would be the master and who would be the slave? And I believe this is a very important point to understand. If you were to get what you want when you wanted it, who would be the master and who would be the slave? We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are supposed to beckon to His every call and respond to Him as quickly as we can. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, our Master, our Sustainer, then if He responds to us, it is out of His generosity, kindness, and mercy. And you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never shortchanges His slave, subhanallah. That there are opportunities where we do raise our hands and we get what we want right away. Number two, you get what you want, but at a time where it is better for you. A brother's been struggling to get a job, he's been making dua, he's been networking, he's been, you know, upscaling his skill set. Yet the time still hasn't come. What's happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this brother hasn't learned to manage his time yet. In terms of taking care of his parents, taking care of his wife and kids, taking care of his community obligations. And when this brother does get it down, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him that job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to increase in his reward of continuously making dua. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the job when it was right for him, so that he could learn balance in his life. And then category number three was, what you're asking for is not good for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts an equal amount of evil from your life. The example of this is a brother that works a corporate job. He's eyeing this corner office. He wants that promotion. He keeps making dua, keeps trying his utmost best at work, but it's just not happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if this brother got that corner office and got that promotion, that perhaps this brother would start missing Jummah. He would start neglecting his family, he would start neglecting his deen, he would start neglecting his obligations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps him where he's at, but He continues to reward him and continues to avert an equal amount of evil from his life. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that there are hadith that allude to the fact that people will show up on the day of judgment and they will have mountains of reward. And they will ask Allah that, oh Allah, where did these mountains of reward come from? We don't remember doing any such good deeds that could have incurred such a reward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that this is the reward of the patience you showed when you made dua, yet it went unanswered in the way that you wanted it. Now, what do you think these people say? Do you think these people say that, oh Allah, we don't feel right, we want to go back to the dunya and answer dua, we don't want what you have over here? Of course not. In fact, these people respond by saying that, oh Allah, we wish none of our du'as in this world were answered. That is how great the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So now to conclude the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions these three ways that their du'as are answered, they responded by saying, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, we'll only increase in making du'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wallahu akthar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more to give you. The more you ask, the more you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this one main hadith that we were discussing, that your Lord is the most bashful and the most shy, and He is the most generous, and He becomes even more bashful when the slave raises their hands to Allah that He should return them empty-handed without having given them that which they asked for. If you understand this hadith in its totality, that you have a no-lose situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as long as you are calling out to Allah, you will never lose. You'll either get what you want when you want it, or at a time that it is better for you, or what you're asking for is not good for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts an equal amount of evil from your life and rewards you generously in the hereafter. Would you not be permeating positivity? Would you not be inspiring optimism? Of course you would. But what ends up happening is that our day-to-day lives tend to make us forget this reality that the believers have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by their side. Shaitan makes us forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only a call away. And when you call out to Allah, things will always work out even better than you expect them to be. We just fail to realize. And that is my hypothesis as to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always radiating optimism and positivity, due to his deep understanding who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. And if we can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even at a fraction of that level, this will drastically change our outlook in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, our topic of discussion for today is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiated such positivity in his life, such that he was always seen smiling or regularly seen smiling. And we share the hypothesis that it was his deep understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon one hadith out of many, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your Lord is the most bashful and the most generous. And he becomes even more bashful when the slave raises their hands to Allah that he should return them empty-handed without having given that which the slave asked for. To proceed, my dear brothers and sisters, let me get to my conclusion. These are dark and difficult times. SubhanAllah, every day you read something new that is happening. You know, just yesterday I was reading about how individuals that use Microsoft were losing their accounts just for keeping in touch with their family members. And every day something new is happening. And Shaitan wants you to feel disheartened. Shaitan wants you to give up. Shaitan wants you to feel sad and depressed to the degree that you are paralyzed and can no longer do more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants effort from us. He does not want from us to change the condition of the world. He does not want us to guarantee victory. That is beyond us. That cannot be expected of us. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us is to keep on going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that whoever continues to strive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا, that their effort will be greatly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and the next. So what I conclude with, my dear brothers and sisters, we often have choices to make. We can be sad, we can be depressed, we can give up, or we can learn to navigate these emotions and reframe what's happening in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. And if we are patient and we continue to work hard, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us and forgive us and increase our ranks in paradise, but that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the state of the ummah when each individual accepts accountability for their own selves to keep on moving forward. There are days where you will naturally feel down. That is inevitable. And we have a communal obligation to lift each other up. You know someone's feeling down? Check in on them. Call them. Visit them. Take them out for coffee. And you will see that those 8 minutes, 8 minutes is often all a person needs to uplift their spirits, just to know that someone cares for them. And if we can do that for one another, my dear brothers and sisters, I have no doubt that this ummah can change the world. But what needs to happen is we need to start thinking beyond our own selves. Start thinking about our community members, often those that are on the fringes that we may not know, that we may not see regularly, but they're still an integral part of our community. And that is what made the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so unique at his time, was this genuine deep love that they had for one another. So when you see someone down, rather than sharing your sorrows with them, find a way to radiate optimism just by sharing a smile, asking how they're doing, and making dua for them. And you'll notice that that alone will inspire positivity in their lives and grant them the ability to keep going. My dear brothers and sisters, one point that I want to conclude with is that I'm here today on behalf of Miftah Institute, an institute that focuses on producing huffaz, those that memorize the Quran. And inshallah, there will be a brother outside that will be collecting donations to help sponsor these huffaz. On average, it takes about $5,000 to take care of all the needs of one of the huffaz that is staying on campus. Just $5,000. So inshallah, for those of you that are able to sponsor a hafiz completely or even partially, please donate generously. And this can be our effort in making the world a better place. For surely, with every hafiz that we produce, an individual that has memorized the speech of Allah and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surely they can go on to do great things, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, times are tough, but together we will get through it. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawfiq, following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and deepening our understanding of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is.